Heyo, welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Hail State Mike, and there's old Bulldog Shane, so you know what that means, Shane?
I need more cowbell, baby!
Yes, we're going to talk some Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
We've been high on the Bulldog, Shane, here lately.
Yeah.
Maybe not all offseason, but here lately we have been. And the Mississippi State fans have been made it very, very aware to me, Shane, that we have not done Mississippi State the last couple years. So I figured, hey, they deserve it. They stick around thick and thin. So we're going to give them a Mississippi State preview, and we're going to be pretty optimistic here when we pick your season. You know what?
Hell yeah. Ole Miss, I even wore my Ole Miss shirt just for them, you know? As we talk about the Egg Bowl champs, man. Yes, I'm absolutely looking forward to this one, you know, because, you know, we're starting to get some callbacks. A lot of people don't know. So media days, we're trying to line up conversations with the coaches and the players, and we're starting to see some of these teams reach out. And I'm like, you know, I'd like to have a little more information on Mississippi State. So I'm glad we're doing that today, Mike. And before we get started, I know Ole Miss fans are like, how am I going to get through this? And you know how you get through this one? With a bottle of Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right. Before you do anything in the Smoky Mountains, be sure you stop off and see our family over here at TLD. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift when you mention the show. And they got all kinds of good stuff. They got sampling. They got tastings. They got trinkets you could take back to your family, even the ones you don't really like that much, but you had to get them something because they got you something on their vacation. That's exactly what you could do at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Just again, remind them that you are a fan of that SEC podcast.
Yeah, they welcome all cousins down there, yeah. No matter what team you sport. You know what?
Am I getting better with the radio voice? It's like, come on down.
You know, a little inside baseball.
Yeah.
For the cousins. It is funny because Shane's first media days, I think he was scared to death.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to, you know, how to behave or what to say or anything. And it is, it's like, it's overwhelming. There's a lot going on, mm-hmm. But I told him, I was like, now watch out for these guys. You're going to be all kinds of, we're going to be surrounded by people. Welcome back, WWCMM on the radio, Louisiana. And there's like 1,000 of those guys.
Yeah,
and it's just, and then when, as soon as they're done, they're like, oh, hey, buddy, nice to talk to you. Like, I'm like, why do people pretend? You know, I don't think that's a way to do it. And, you know, I hate it for those people, but it seems like that's like a dying business. You know what?
It is. There's less and less voiceovers, right? You know, I feel like the longer we've been doing this, the more I remember coming in because they were all there bright and early. I mean, these are 5 o'clock early risers because they got to get ready for the radio show and stuff. You and me rolling in at 11, because back then, none of the coaches or players were definitely coming to our table. So we were just rolling in at 10, 11 o'clock. Like, what do y'all do? And we're like, oh, we're podcasters. And I'm like, what's that? Oh, I've heard of that. You know, Rogan, you know,
right.
Now it's all they do.
Now they all got cameras.
Yep.
And
yeah, we
were the first.
We put
you know
up
what?
Two cameras. Oh my gosh. You thought the place would have shut down.
But all right, yeah. I just thought that was fun. A little memory, go trip down memory lane there for the cuzzos. But let's dive into it, Shane. SEC preview, Mississippi State rolls on. Last year, Shane, Hail State, 5-8.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's kind of rough, obviously, 1-7. But we started 4-0. We were feeling good. Remember, when we beat Arizona State, I believe they were number 12 in the country, maybe even higher than that. You know, it was just... Yeah. It was a hell of a win. That seemed like a signature win for Jeff Lebby. It was getting our feet wet and after an abysmal first year. And then, you know, you get in the conference play and then you hit a skid. But if you just look at it and say, well, they just, you know, they're beating all the cream puffs and they started losing in conference. That's not really how it played out. I mean, they had Tennessee beat. I believe that was an overtime game. Tennessee needed a defensive touchdown late to kind of force overtime, if I recall. Florida, you had them beat on the ropes. Again, we don't need to bash old Lebby on this one, but for some reason we were throwing the football in a 2-point game, and we threw an interception. We were already in field goal range, so should have won that one. We were quite literally whooping Texas ass. And then I don't know what happened to Arch, but it was like it was the day he awoke, and then he was amazing from there on out in the second half. And that was, I believe that was an overtime loss as well. And then my dumbass picked him to beat Georgia. You know, that they were not very competitive in that one, but they did come back. It was a shootout style against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And late in the season against Ole Miss and in the bowl game, we got the full Kamario Taylor experience. And if for nothing else, Shane, that's what's got me so fired up about this season is we have got our feet wet with our star quarterback, and he's going into year two, and he could be a game breaker here in the conference.
For sure. Right. And that's what we held on to at the end of the season was a little optimism moving forward. And because Mississippi State fans know, right? Three games, one possession, could have won it, should have, could have, had it, you know? I mean, I'm honestly, I still don't know how Tennessee got away with that one. But if we would have been sitting here at 6-6, 7-5, I mean, we'd be singing a different tune coming in this season. So I feel like Mississippi State didn't get the respect they deserve, but they're going to get that respect early this season, Mike. I'm starting to warm up to these Bulldogs.
You know who's getting my respect, Shane?
Bulldog Mississippi.
Yeah, 20 donations gifted. Ooh, we appreciate you, buddy. Let me screenshot those so we can highlight at the end of the program.
Appreciate you.
We do appreciate. See, the Bulldogs are great people, Shane. They just deserve some love, and then they give it back. You know what?
Somebody needs to send Sven a text. We ain't seen him in a long time. Let him know we're talking some Bulldogs in here.
I think he quit on us like I quit on Jeff Levy. Well, speaking of Levy, again, this is going to be his year. I'm not bashing him, not this hour. Nope. Shout out Jeff Levy. Again, it's been a rough. He's been learning on the job. And that's why I don't like hiring a coach that's never been a head coach, because he's got to learn. But he's got the learning out of his system, Shane. He's 7-18 overall. He's 1-15 in the Southeastern Conference. So again, not where we've been. And you know, I just think it's kind of disgraceful that some people look down upon Mississippi State when just a couple of years ago they were arguably, outside of Alabama and Georgia, they were the most consistent. They had the longest bowl winning streak outside of Alabama and Georgia in the Southeastern Conference by the end of the Dan Mullen era. So we can win here. We can win consistently. We can play with literally anybody. And we just got to get back to that. We got to get back to toughness. We got to get back to physicality. And I like what Jeff Levy's done on the defensive side of the football, offensive side of the football, but the defense, buddy, ooh, it's been bad. And as you can see here, I'm highlighting all the way back to the COVID season when Mike Leach came over.
Yeah.
Strength of schedule, Shane. Top six in the country for the last six seasons. Mm. So you're playing quite literally, you know, one of the toughest schedules in the country. And you just don't quite have the talent. You got top 30 talent. And that'll win you a lot of games if you're Indiana or Iowa or one of these scrub programs, you know what? But when you're playing a top five schedule, basically year in and year out, that's a big reason of why I think we've struggled. But to me, it's just highlighting that red portion there all the way to the right, where we have quite literally been the worst Power Five defense in the country the last two seasons.
Yeah.
But reason for optimism, Shane, you see up there at the top right, we'll see how it's green.
Mm-hmm.
That was old Zach Arnett. And buddy, he's back, baby. Baby, we're back. Zach Arnett's back. And again, this is not an outlier at just Mississippi State. He did a hell of a job at San Diego State as defensive coordinator. And that's why Mike Leach hired him. So if you go back to 5 years that Zach Arnett was a defensive coordinator, not head coach, but just defensive coordinator, going back to San Diego State and the 3 years at Mississippi State, four of the five, Shane. He's had a defensive success rate in the top 40 at San Diego State. He was 24-10. And then his first year, again, it was COVID. It was kind of wacky, 50th, and then 31-32. So again, he's putting on a top 30 defense year in and year out, and one of the years top 10. And this is efficiency. So that ranks which talent you have going up against the talent you're going up against. So this is a lot better metric than some people just use, like total defense. That's kind of nonsense if you ask me. But point being, Zach Arnett is a really, really good defensive coordinator. He's been a really good defensive coordinator in Starkville, and now he's back. So again, if you just look at what Jeff Levy, where the program's been, it's been a disaster on defense. If we can get that flipped to anything close to what it's been under Zach Arnett, I mean, there's a path to being very respectable again in the Southeastern Conference.
Well, it's kind of wild because it's probably the least talked about coach carousel that we've had here, right? I mean, just remove the names for a second. If you told me that Levy was going to be the offensive coordinator at Florida Gators and Arnett's going to be the defense, we'd be talking about, damn, they made two of the most elite hires this offseason. That's exactly what we've got here. We've got a defense that has been, let's just face it, garbage. And if it is half the garbage, then, yeah, I feel like those one possession games we're talking about last year definitely would have went a different way this season. So I love the hire. I think it's a perfect fit. He knows what's expected. He understands the culture of Mississippi State fans are different, and he gets it. So I feel like this was a big hire for them.
And I just want to highlight one other thing here, Shay. So this is Jeff Lebby's track record. And again, look away from the defense if you want, because again, he's not responsible for the defense necessarily. Seeing a lot of green, and specifically, I wanted to highlight his time at Oklahoma. I couldn't believe how many Sooner fans, Shane, wanted this guy out of there, and they got their wish. But in 23, his last year there, number two in the country points per game, top 10 in offensive points per possession and offensive success rate. And what's happened to Oklahoma's offense since Jeff Lebby left, Shane? It went straight in the shitter. So that's not to, you know, make fun of Oklahoma, but it's just to say what a good job Jeff Lebby's done. However, now let us highlight the defense here, because I think it's a fair criticism and perhaps a question. If we're seeing so much struggles on the defensive side of the football, when Jeff Lebby is our offensive coordinator, except the one exception is when Brent Venables was literally a defensive guru over here with the Sooners. Is it fair to question or at least wonder if we can run this style of system, this offense, and have a quality defense? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, if we got 6 years of data here and five of them, the defense is garbage, I'm wondering if that's a real problem.
I think it is, but there are outliers. I mean, I hate to talk about 22 Tennessee Vols, but I mean, if that, the most up-tempo offense in the country, was able to put out an elite defense, maybe not 22, it wasn't 22. What year was that, Mike? That was 24. Was it? You know what I'm saying? So top one defense, but I it can be done, but how you do that, and something maybe we're going to get to here in a second, is competitive depth. You know, when you can rotate bodies, that's one thing. If you can't, then I feel like some of these defenses are going to struggle, especially if you play an up-tempo offense like this.
Yeah, I think it's fair. So, again, I'm just asking the question, Shane. I'm just asking the question. All right, let's get into offensive returning production for Mississippi State. Sure, 37% of our production from last season on offense is back. That's 10th in the Southeastern Conference. We calculate this with passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps that return. Passing, 20%. That's 8th in the SEC, but with Kamario Taylor back there, I ain't worried, brother. I ain't worried. When we're talking about rushing, rushing, we got Fluff Bothwell. He's awesome. Now, he was a little bit banged up last year,
right?
Yet he still rushed for nearly 700 yards, nearly 5 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns. If he can stay healthy, watch out, brother. Receiving, Anthony Evans, This guy's going to be a household name by the end of the season. Shane, he had over 830 yards last year, 43% of our receivings back, ninth in the SEC. That doesn't bother me a lick because I know this offense is going to produce with Jeff Levy calling it. He just plug in plays at the receiver position. And then now here is the concern for me, 21% offensive snaps on the offensive line return. That's 13th in the SEC. So we got one guy with 41 snaps, another guy with 12, another guy with 11. So again, it's quite a drop off here, but we'll get to the portal. But if the offensive line doesn't work, the whole operation is going to fall apart.
Yeah, right. I don't care how good your quarterback is. I mean, look in South Carolina, right? You can have an elite quarterback. People are talking about winning a Heisman potentially, but if he's running for his life the entire time, then it doesn't matter how good Taylor is. So we're going to, like you said, get to the portal here in a second. But, yeah, that one's definitely a concern for me.
Now, how about the defense, Shane? 44% of our defensive production returns. That is 12th in the SEC. And this is calculated by tackles for loss and sacks, passes defended, and interceptions that return. But again, I'm not too worried here either, Shane, because we got a lot of veterans back, and they were playing in a wonky system last year. Now we got Zach Arnett, who, what a roundabout way, Shane, to some of these guys he actually recruited, and now he gets to coach them once again or for the first time. So he's familiar with some of the pieces, and I think regardless of what we're, again, 12th in the SEC in returning production at tackles for loss, and 11th in passes defended and interceptions. I think all these numbers are going to improve with Zach Arnett coaching our defense.
I do too, man. I mean, it's got to go somewhere, right? I feel like you're going to obviously see some improvement here. But, you know, the one thing I like about Arnett too is, you know, he has been a head coach, even if it was for a year, and he understands what it takes. And, you know, I would imagine the relationship with Levy is going to kind of, hey, help me out a little bit here, you know? So don't be surprised if there's a little help on the offense for this defense.
Yeah, and without a doubt. So let's get into the transfer portal. Shade, I don't know what 24/7 sports been drinking because they were dead wrong here. On Threes nailed it, as per usual. Shane, On Threes got this as the number 12 portal class in the country. 24/7 Sports got this as the 40th. What? 27 transfers in, 40 transfers out. Shane, just making room. Just making room over here. But how about Marquise Johnson, Shane, from Missouri? He comes over, 66 catches, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Come on. Oh. This is a speed demon in our new offense here that will get him to the NFL. How about this? This is an interesting one, Shane. Amari Williams from Florida State.
Uh-huh.
He played both sides of the football. So defensive edge type player and tight end. I think he's going to primarily play defense here for Mississippi State. Jordan Gilbert from LSU and A&M. He's got nearly 150 tackles, 3 interceptions during his college career. A bunch of defensive linemen, bunch of offensive linemen. And then how about this, Shane? Old friend, A.J. Swan. Come on, Vanderbilt, LSU, serving as a backup quarterback. And then perhaps the ultimate wild card, Shane.
Yeah.
You remember this name? Jaden Rashada, the guy that sued Billy Napier in Florida for not giving him his NIL, buddy. And now he's back in the SEC. What? But if anybody can get something out of Jaden Daniels, it's going to be Jeff Lebby. So very fascinating. And again, should Jaden Rashada, A.J. Swan, you know, best case scenario, they literally never see the field because we got Kamario Taylor. But yeah, it's just kind of fascinating, this quarterback room. It's probably the most fascinating one in the Southeastern Conference.
It definitely is, right? And, you know, there was a moment I told you, brother, I said, this A.J. Swan, he sticks around at Vandy, he's going to be something special. And then he gets lured down to LSU, and he kind of disappears for a little bit. But you got a very, very good serviceable backup quarterback here that, you know, was pushing for a starting job in a couple of locations. So I really like that. Also, I feel like that obviously the Johnson ad, you know, you pair that with already that wide receiver room, this could be a, yeah. I mean, hell, Levy. Levy got some new toys to work with here, Mike.
And I just like the fact, Shane, that they're adding guys from, you know, Arkansas, LSU, yeah. A&M, Missouri, in Oklahoma, Kendall Dobie, who, again, he didn't quite work out here lately, but he's got Kendall Dobie nearly 50 games of experience, over 68 tackles in his career. So, again, getting experience, Shane. We're getting guys that can play us some football. We're not going to have to train these guys. They're trained up. They're ready to see the field.
That's right. We want some old farts running around here, you know?
Because it's do or die, right? It's year three.
It feels like, yeah.
Jeff Levy, we got to get this thing turned around. We ain't got time to wait a year or two. So,
well, I think it's like it with the portal kids, you know? They're kind of like, hey, this is my last shot in an SEC team to do something special that we knew we can do. So I kind of like the additions here, Mike.
Has maybe Mississippi State's like last chance you of the SEC. You know what?
Come on now.
And
we're
going to
start showing Levy in a hot tub, smoking a cigar after practice.
The reason I bring that up, because we signed the number 28 recruiting class, number 12 in the SEC. So, again, not 28's nothing to sneeze at, but, again, you're in the SEC. You're going to be near the back with a ranking like that. But they signed a couple of elite prospects, Shane. The number 4 safety, Braylon Womack. Number 15 tight end, Xavion Cotton. Number 20 defensive end, Micah Nickerson. And then how about this, Shane? Remember back in the day, back in our day, you used to sign junior college players.
Yeah.
Nobody does it anymore. Mm-mm. So when nobody's doing something, that's kind of gives you a perhaps somewhat of a competitive advantage if you go against the grain, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
So I think Jeff Levy and company said, you know what? Everybody's ignoring these JUCOs. Let's go sign the number 3 junior college safety, Dre Riley, the number 9 junior college offensive lineman, Keyshawn Shepherd, and the number 11 JUCO receiver, Matthew Mayfield. So you might be getting some instant impact from the junior college ranks as well. Just an interesting, because I don't know that we've done this. I don't know. I could be mistaken, but I don't know that other SEC teams signed multiple junior college players this cycle. They really don't do it anymore because they just go to the portal.
Dude, that used to be our bread and butter, right? That's where we got us a Cordero Patterson. And, you know, you think about all these elite guys. They didn't start out elite. I like it, Mike. I like it. And you could build a pipeline for some of these schools because some of these JUCO schools, it's kind of like an IMG Academy, right? They're going to the best ones. And if you could kind of build that pipeline, who knows? You may get you a couple kids every year from them.
And that's the thing from a lot of these junior colleges, Shane, are in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah.
So if you're at Mississippi State, you're at Ole Miss. I mean, they used to get half of them. You know what I mean? But point being, you got to believe they've got the connections, the insight into all these coaches at the junior college level in state. So I don't know. Again, just an interesting strategy and something that could pay off for them.
Well, we're going to find out, Mike.
You know what else is going to pay off for them, Shane?
What's that?
This offensive depth chart. Come on, buddy. Oh, not a lot of transfers in the starting unit, which I like to see that in year 3 of a head coach, but a lot of transfers in the second team. So for me, Shane, again, this was difficult, but I'm going to go quarterback as the best position group on the team, thanks to Kamario Taylor. You know, I just think the world of him.
Yeah.
AJ Swan, Jaden Rashada, Parker Puckett, they bring back. So, and I believe they signed a freshman, Brody McWhorter. So, I mean, we might literally, Shade, go 5 deep at quarterback. And I don't know if there's anybody else in the Southeastern Conference that can say that right now.
No, and I think they're with a good guy to do it with. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, nice deep quarterback room. And there's some people, man, I'm telling you, there's some teams. They're high on the hog right now, but if that guy goes down, their starter goes down, they're in trouble. And I feel like there's some reps sitting behind quarterback here, so I like it.
And what do you need if you're a good quarterback, Shane? You need you some good receivers. So I think receivers, second best position on Mississippi State's offense with Anthony Evans. Again, I predicted this week, I think he's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in receiving yards this year. He had 831 last year. Look for him, maybe even to double that, Shane. Double it. Now, that'd be a lot. But, you know, like 1,200, I think he could get that. Marquise Johnson, we already talked about, from Missouri. Aiden Williams was a touted recruit. He's back for another year. What a name here. San Francisco Boogie, Shane. Breakout potential. Zion Raggins. I mean, we at Oklahoma, that's another thing Lebby does. He gets these guys from these schools that maybe didn't produce. Mm-hmm. And he's gone back to this Oklahoma well many a times because, of course, he came from Oklahoma. So he knows some of these guys, and he gets the most out of them. So I really like this receiving core.
Oh, for sure. And I think the additions, right? I mean, Johnson was a starter, and he wants to be the number one. That's why mm-hmm. he came over here. I feel like these additions weren't so much to look for one or two studs, but basically raise the floor of this wide receiver room. And I think he was able to do that. This is a stout group, Mike.
Hey, shout out to cousin Ken, comment of the night so far. He said, I'm trying to find it. Jaden Rashada outlasted Billy Napier in the SEC.
Who gets the last laugh?
All right. And then next I'm going to go running backs. Again, we love Flaw. He's awesome. Yeah. Xavier Gayton, he's back for another year. I don't know how deep we go at the running back position. That's a little bit of a question mark for me. But again, I've said it, and I believe it, Shane. I think with Bothwell and Taylor, we might have the most underrated quarterback running back duo in the Southeastern Conference this year.
Yeah, yeah. This is a good room. Health, right? We got to stay healthy. This whole team, brother. It felt like they were fighting it all season long. So if Fluff stays healthy, dude, I mean, he could be a 1,000-yard back, brother.
Right. And then I'm putting the offensive line. And I don't know if you're sensing a theme here, Shane, but this is kind of like a common occurrence, not everywhere, but across the Southeastern Conference. It's kind of mm-hmm. a big question mark with the offensive line. I think there's an epidemic of offensive lines. Development, I think, is an issue. And again, not to be old man screaming at the clouds, but I think a lot of it has to do with transfers and the portal and not sticking it out. You know, again, player freedom, I support all of it, but are you getting the reps that you need in the weight room and on the field and the practice field if you're transferring year in and year out? And I think that's why I'd say at literally half the Southeastern Conference schools, I think offensive line is somewhat of a question mark.
Yeah, right. And it sucks. I really do, man. I hope it gets to a point where they stay. You know, I feel like for the South, if the SEC, because it's not just our conference, it's other conferences that are dealing with the same thing. But if you did kind of have a team that hunkered down and developed, got better, you know, we're seeing some of them. I feel like we're seeing more of them spending more money to retain their roster than look for a new one. And if it gets to that point, I feel like SEC is going to be back sooner than later.
Well, I mean, they say even in the NFL, they're like, there's no good linemen coming out.
Yeah.
So
that sucks to be them. You know, are we doing this?
All right, let's look at the defensive depth chart, Shane. And I want to see if you find this guy. We finally found a guy that, you know, he screams Cousin Shane here. And I'll give you a clue. He's played in five games. Can you find him?
He's played in five games, Mike. I'm going through it. I'm going over here on the other side now. Man, I can't see. I can't read all this. What you got?
Look at that backup middle linebacker. Can you see that?
The backup middle linebacker, that would be – hey! I need that jersey.
Shout out, Pat Forrest.
you bastard. I love it. I love it.
yeah, sorry for the tiny type error, but I thought that would hit a little bit harder. But all right, so where we go, best position group, Shane? Give me the secondary. Come on, Shane. Ooh. I think Kelly Jones, best corner in the Southeastern Conference. Isaac Smith is back. He's been playing SEC football for 26 years, it feels mm-hmm. like. He's been there for when Zach Arnett was there the first time around. So
yeah,
he's awesome. And then you're adding guys that have played at LSU and A&M and Iowa State. You know, they've been solid throughout the years. Kendall Dobie, if he's healthy, you know, he's going to make a big impact here for the secondary. I think it's a really good secondary, and Zach Arnett likes to roll out five of these guys at a time. So mm-hmm. I think this could be a good group for him.
Could be, and this is, I mean, Mike, we just talked about it. What if we're getting a shootout? Well, we're getting a shootout. I want a good secondary. So I feel like if you're a State fan, you're happy with this one.
Right. And then next, I'll probably go linebackers. Mm-hmm. Zachary Tillman's a very solid player. Tyler Lockhart was all SEC freshman. He could start. I got him as a backup here, but Jalen Smith is a good player. Before he at Mississippi State, he was at Tennessee. Very, very talented. Again, that's another thing that Zach Arnett has done a really good job with linebackers.
Yeah.
And I'm very intrigued by this Amari Williams. Again, he's the Florida State transfer that kind of played both ways. If Zach Arnett can get him, you know, fully locked in on defense, he could be a breakout star. And then so last but not least, defensive line.
Yeah.
Again, Zach Arnett typically runs a 3-3-5 type defense. So, again, it's a little different. And there's some returning starters that actually project to be backups. Yeah. So that tells me you got a pretty quality defensive line. If you got guys that have been standing out in this new defense, or new to them anyway, on the defensive side of the football that are kind of emerging as potential starters, well, you got starters back that are battling for this. So, again, that just tells me we got a quality defensive line.
Well, and deep, right? You know, you're going to have rotation. When you see backup defensive linemen, that just means maybe they're not coming out first, right?
Right.
It's not like they're not going to see the field during the game. So I'm okay with this. I do like this linebacker core, especially a lot of veterans know what's to be expected. And honestly, don't forget, these guys are the quarterback back there. They'll probably have the microphone talking to coach here. So I like it. I think it's a good spot.
Shane, I think you're slimming down too much.
Yeah.
Old Danny says, hey, good job getting paid on the show. you're looking like Pate these days.
So I was chasing a tornado the other day. And
all right, let's jump over real quick, Shade, to the Athlon Sports Anonymous Coach Comments on Mississippi State, courtesy of our buddy Steven Lesson. Bringing back Zach Arnett was a tremendous hire. Every single time his defense shows up, it's an anomaly for offenses. They don't see it week to week. And the way they run it and the aggressiveness behind it create problems. The thing that they don't have there is the ability to get two to four elite defensive tackles every year. Well, in that scheme, you just have to have one. They can have success without having to do what everybody else in the SEC has to do with the four down front. So that's basically right what we were talking about. And then when it comes to Kamario Taylor, Shane, they say, good night, this guy's a B-dub. He's athletically gifted. He can do a lot of things for them this year, not only with his arm, but also his feet. He can keep plays alive, which turn into big old plays. So it's pretty impressive comments here about Mississippi State, which I think I was surprised a lot of fans, but doesn't surprise us, does it?
No, phenom. I wonder if I've ever been called a phenom. But again, if you've not seen Taylor, and
I've called you a phenom.
I just feel like this is a guy that, man, we're so enamored with so many quarterbacks in this league. And I feel like, Mike, this may be, you know how sometimes we have down years, sometimes we have real down years in the quarterback. I feel like this is a big year for quarterbacks, and probably one that's talked about the least is this man, but they'll be singing his praises about week four, Mike.
Right. And I mean, I know he started two games, right? But
yeah,
he largely was a backup last year, and he had 8 rushing touchdowns, Shane. Backup rush for 8 touchdowns. I mean, imagine how many he's going to get in a 12, 13 game season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you were building a team and you're playing a pickup game of football with your buddies, this is the first guy picked. Flag football, this is your guy, right? So get ready for a highlight reel.
Oh, and I forgot, Shane. I always overlook these guys. They're people too, right?
Yes.
Kicker's back. Kyle Furry, I think is how you say his name. 17-20 kicking field goals last year. Right. So solid as can be. And he nailed a 55-yarder, was all-time Mississippi record last year. And also,
yeah,
not that we're going to need him, punter's back, Ethan Pullum. He averaged over 46 yards per punt. So if we need him, we're solid on special teams.
Dude, wouldn't it be great? I mean, the game's on the line. They got the punter out there, and coach looks over and says, pull him. We're going for it.
All right, so let's dive into the schedule here, Shane. Mississippi State over-under this year, 4.5. What's that, at midseason? Come on. 200-1 to win the Southeastern Conference, 600-1 to win the National Championship. ULM at home, at Minnesota, at South Carolina, Missouri at home, Bama at home. Then we get our bye week at LSU, Oklahoma at home, at Texas, Vanderbilt at home, Auburn at home, Tennessee Tech at home, at Ole Miss. Thoughts on that schedule, Shane?
Another tough one, right? Another tough one. Strength of schedule is going to be really high for Mississippi State, but I like this 4.5. Not just being optimistic, but again, think about it. If you put a lot of money on this one, this over-under, there's a real scenario by October you've got this thing almost licked. So, yeah, I like it.
Okay. Shade likes it. Well, let's see if he likes. I don't know if he's going to. My win, loss, or toss for Mississippi State, Shane. Here we go. Win, loss, or toss, Mississippi State. You tell me what I got right, what I got wrong. I've got three should-be wins. ULM at home, Vanderbilt at home, Tennessee Tech at home. Do you disagree with any of those?
I'm leaning toward September 12th, Minnesota, but it is on the road, so I'm pretty good here with the wins.
Okay. So I got 5 toss-ups at Minnesota, at Carolina, Missouri, Auburn, and just for you, Shane, at Ole Miss. I put it as a toss there.
I am okay with this one.
Okay, and then I got 4. Again, I'm not saying you can't win them, but I'm just saying unlikely to win here. Bama, at LSU, Oklahoma, at Texas, and unfortunately, they're all 4 in a row there.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you here. Boy, that is a tough one.
Yeah. Again, not saying you can't do it.
Nice little bye in the middle of it, at least, you know.
Yeah, break
take you a little break of Murder's Row there.
All right, so you ready to break it into week by week as optimistic Hail State fans, win or loss here?
Let's do it, brother.
Okay, so week one. Who are we kidding, Shane? It's a pick your damn score type game. ULM, get the hell out of here. We might score 70 points this game, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. This is when we start the Heisman campaign, Mike.
Mario Taylor, will he score 6 or over under 6.5 touchdowns?
Total, I would say 6. That's good. I would say, I'd say under.
Yeah, that's the right answer because he's not going to play most of the second half. If we left him in, I'd take the over.
Yeah.
Okay, so week two. Now here's where it gets interesting, Shane. At Minnesota, they went 8-5 last year. So not a bad program. I don't know much about them, I'll be honest with you. But Steve has got this as the number 42 team in the country.
Yeah.
And he's got them as the 11th best in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Year 3, Jeff Lebby. If we can't row the boat up in Minnesota, your ass got to go. Come on, this is a win for the SEC. Win it for Hail State. It's got to be a win, don't you think?
Biggest game. We'll talk about most important games, but I feel like if we're going to get off this Lebby's on the hot seat talk, then this is when you got to win. You lose it, the rumbles pick up real quick, right? Say, when's Arnett going to start taking over this thing? No, I feel like this is a big one. You go up there. It's not going to be a big televised game, but people will start recognizing you after you go up there and you whoop up on the Minnesota. So, yeah, I like this one, 2-0.
Again, I mean, it's a different story if they're like unanimous top 25, expected to compete for the Big Ten title.
Yeah.
This is, again, Stephen don't even have them in the top 10 of that conference. No. You know, you can't be losing these games.
The Big Ten 42 is like the SEC 87. That's what I'm comparing it to.
Exactly. All right. So week three. Ooh. Now, if we beat Minnesota, it sets up a really nice showdown. Carolina.
Yeah.
But it is on the road, Shane. They didn't do Mississippi State any favors when it comes to two road games out of the first three. Carolina will have played a couple cupcakes. So they're not going to be as tested as us. And, you know, I could very easily, Shane, pick a scenario where Carolina destroys Kent, destroys Tal. I mean, they will destroy those teams, surely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Beamer may be fired already. But basically, they're going to be undefeated. But I could paint you a scenario where South Carolina is a breakout team in the Southeastern Conference. I could paint you a scenario where Mississippi State is a breakout team in this conference. And I think the answer, we won't know it fully by week three, but I think the winner of this game kind of cements themselves as a program on the rise. And the other one is probably not going to survive the season. Or at least it won't return next year at the very least.
Needs to update his resume.
Right, right. So, yeah. Get the hell out of here. See ya, Beamer. Because you got to win this one. But again, to me, it's a complete toss-up.
Can we talk about just how fun this game will be for a second? I you remember the Mac after dark, you know?
Right.
That's it. They should play this game on Thursday. There may be 100 points scored in this damn game. And I feel like that's – not just as a homer, but just really looking at this, there's one team that is used to scoring points in a hurry, and it's Mississippi State. South Carolina is going to have that same style. Don't forget, Bryles is over there. This thing's going to be opened up as well, but can they sustain it? Can they keep up? I don't think so. 3-0, Mississippi State, baby.
All right, and then if that happens, again, big if, but if it happens, we're setting up a really – interesting showdown in Missouri. Finally, we get to come back home for our first conference game at home.
Yeah.
And I know you got a special place in your big heart, Shane, for that Mizzou team.
Yeah.
And yeah, they could do some stuff. I mean, it would be the first time I've heard a lot of good stuff about Austin Simmons. You know?
Yeah.
But it'd be the first time I actually seen him do anything other than one drive against Georgia. So, I mean, I could paint you a scenario, Shane, where Austin Simmons, again, I don't think he's going to be awful, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, all that perhaps. Well, Ahmad Hardy, I mean, you ask the fans, yet he's already won the Heisman by this point. I'm not even convinced he's on the field. You know what I mean? So, again, not to steal your talking point here, but if this one gets in a shootout,
yeah,
and we may not have our All-American running back, and we're relying on Austin Simmons, who's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns in his college career, is he going to win a shootout over Kamario Taylor on the road with the bells a-ringing? Oh, he ain't doing it, Shane. 4-0.
Oh, yeah. We'll start getting the emails about how they shouldn't be able to have cowbells in the stadium. And this one's, man, you're right. I do like Mizzou. I like Mizzou. I think people are sleeping on them. But I told you when we did the Mizzou preview that I'm worried about this game. And as an optimistic stater here, I feel like, yeah, we could beat this team. We will beat this team. But It's a big game. This is a home game. This is one you need the crowd involved. This is one that you can't screw up early in the game. And if you don't and you get ahead of this team, you may be able to keep it, right? I don't think Mizzou's going to go toe to toe with you once you get a couple scores on them. I'm not saying you're going to beat them by 14, but if that happens, I like State big in this one, but Give me a big win for Mississippi State here. 4-0.
A big win.
They don't even lose games in September. That's old Levy.
And then who knows, Shane? Who knows how good Alabama will be, right?
Yeah.
But they could be undefeated. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we got Bama coming to Starkville. Game day? I mean, imagine it could be game of the year type app. I mean, I don't know if it'll be quite that. But again, this is a game like literally nobody's got circled.
Yeah.
That if it goes the way we just painted the portrait, I mean, this could be, I guarantee it'll be a top 25 showdown and maybe even better than that. So it could be kind of interesting. Dream season, Levy extension. I mean, that's going to be the talk, right? Like, can we lock this guy up for another couple of years? And then we're going to be like, nah, I would never. Well, pump the brakes. I know I've said a lot of bad things about Bama, but I think it's a little too much to ask you to beat them.
Do you know how close these teams are? I forget about it. Mileage-wise, really not that far apart. And, you know, part of the reason that you look at this strength of schedule through the years was because Mississippi State was sitting right there in the West, having to play a team like Alabama every single year. And I don't know, Mike. I don't know, brother. I'm not convinced right now. Here's the thing. I know exactly what we got at quarterback Mississippi State. I don't know what we got in Bama, right? I know they got pretty good defense. They're going to be tested in this football game. But I love a little home field advantage in the Southeastern Conference. Can we pull up, before I say it, though, Alabama schedule? I'd like to know who they're playing before and after and see if this thing's even possible.
Yeah, Alabama opens the season East Carolina at home, at Kentucky, Florida State, and Carolina both at home.
Jeez, yeah. They've already crowned themselves after four wins.
Looking ahead to Georgia.
Already thinking about them Georgia Bulldogs, but they get tripped up in Starkville, Mississippi. Give me a win, upset win, Mississippi State here. We're undefeated still. We are still undefeated.
Steven up, just unsubscribed. I mean, I don't think that's the craziest thing. Again, I think Alabama's going to take a big step back. So,
yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot, Shane. All right, now we go to the bye week. So we got two weeks to prepare. If we were undefeated, though, I don't know that I'm one off. I want to stay hot, you know, ride that hot hand. Just like you're sitting at the poker table, you just got to ride them cards, you know? So I don't know, 2 weeks to prepare, that is a little bit of an advantage over LSU, who will not be coming off a bye. You're at LSU, though, the Lane train. I think LSU gets them in Tiger Stadium. I think that's asking a little too much.
Let's be real, Mike. I'd love to paint you a pretty picture of going undefeated, but I, too, feel like this one – you're not under the radar anymore. In my scenario, you're 5-0 at this point. You're top 25, probably almost top 15. So they know you're coming, and it seems like this would be a tough one to get away with. And I've got LSU winning this game, Mississippi State taking their first loss of the season.
All right, and then week 8, Oklahoma, Shane. Yep. You know what I think about Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I think they're one of the best teams in the country. I think they're going to make the SEC championship. Hell, they might even make the national championship. It's early. I might even predict them to do that, you know, but love this defense. But you know what I don't love?
What's that?
I don't love the way they treated old Jeff Levy when he was there. And I think they're regretting it. If they're being honest with themselves, they've regretted it ever since, Shane. Because the guy that was after him, I mean, hell, they had to fire him in the middle of the year. Then they had to find their next guy over at DoorDash. You know what I mean? And it still isn't going too well. So I don't know. I think there'll be some bad blood here. And I've got this as a likely loss. Again, it's against all odds. I mean, this is probably Oklahoma favored by 2 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
So Oklahoma, of course, wins it, right? Oh, hey, we keep saying State's going to pull an upset somewhere.
Yeah.
Again, is it likely Oklahoma? Probably not, but same thing we keep saying. I mean, I think it's going to be the moral of Mississippi State this year, Shane. If you can get it to a shootout, which is not a given against Oklahoma's defense. But if you can get it into a shootout,
yeah,
can John Mateer win you a shootout? I don't know that we've seen that yet. You know what I mean? So, give me State to pull off the massive upset here.
How many trick plays do Arbuckle have to use in that game? You know, that's the only thing I'm worried about. But I'm kind of the same boat. I feel like optimistically, Mississippi State gets a game in October, and I got to pick which one it is. So I went with Alabama just because of the way I feel like they're going to match up. The reason I didn't go with Oklahoma is because mainly Oklahoma's defensive front, if I'm being real with you here. That offensive line, big question mark for State. And this is a defense that can make you one-dimensional. So what happens when Taylor is forced to throw every single time, you know? So I think it's a close game, but I feel like Mississippi State loses this one.
Yeah. I mean, that's very realistic.
Yeah.
You know what also is realistic, Shane?
What's that?
Going to Texas and losing. Come on. I think, you played them well last year.
And the year before.
And you're probably better. So maybe I shouldn't write it off as just such an automatic L.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems like a tough, tough drink of water, as they say in Austin, to get that steal one from them. You know what?
Yeah. This one, like you said, last couple of seasons, it's been a top football game for the most part. And then talent prevailed. And it is in Austin. And I feel like it's going to be a tough, tough football game to just go. I mean, we're late in the season now. This is when that depth becomes an issue for teams. And I don't know. I mean, it's a coin toss as far as injuries, but I'd like Texas to win this one.
Hey, shout out Cousin Timmy. He says if State goes 7-0, he's we'll wear a State shirt for a week.
Hell yeah.
Is he going to wash it, though? Or just keep wearing it?
I'll wear it for a week. 7-0, man. If you go 7-0, jeez, I'm going to Lebby's house, and we're going to have dinner. You may not come out and eat with me, but I'll be on his front lawn waiting for him with hamburgers. Come on, 7-0.
So the November slate, Shane.
Yeah,
I think it's easy to look at it and be like, oh, there's some winnable games here, and I think there are. But if you're getting beat up by Bama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, hell, even if you win one or two, which is two is very unlikely. But again, even if you do, you're going to be beaten, battered, and bruised going into the November slate. Remember, we're out of buys.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is by any means any of these very easy to just kind of win. But it's going to be easy win against Vanderbilt. Come on. I think we can beat Vanderbilt this year.
Yeah, and I feel like this will be a different group, right? These games that I've had as losses, I feel like they'll be tough losses. They'll be down to the wire and maybe a couple possession-type games. But you keep that momentum rolling, you smoke teams like Vanderbilt, and that's exactly what they do. Vanderbilt, sorry, you're going down big time here.
All right, now Auburn. Ooh, I got a feeling. Yeah. I need some more cowbell because I've been listening to Cousin Shane here lately, and boy, does he hate Auburn Tigers. So we're talking one of the highest scoring games potentially in the Southeastern Conference this season. Auburn, Mississippi State, you know, first one to 45 points is probably going to win this bad boy. Oh, come on, Mississippi State. We're playing at home. We got to finish strong. Now, that might be the toughest one. Well, I think it definitely will be of this three-game home slate.
Yeah.
But if you can get this one, I think you're setting yourself up for a hell of a season.
I think so, too. I feel like Auburn will be in a different spot at this point. Actually, kind of probably like Mississippi State last year, right? Just – are we going to get to a bowl? That's where we're at. We need this game. So they may get up a little more for this one, but I don't know. I feel like State's rolling at this point, especially after that big win against Vanderbilt, and they're going to continue rolling with another win against Auburn Tigers.
So Tennessee Tech, obviously, we're going to beat the hell out of them. Come on, Shane. So,
momentum. Do you feel that?
Could you imagine being 8-3 and Mississippi State? I mean, this is what we're used to. This is what it was before long. Maybe we get right back to it, Shane. So now we got the Friday Egg Bowl at Ole Miss, Cheat Golding, and all his BS coming, you know, hosting us, if you will. So this is always a special game, Shane. Mm-hmm. We always love it. It's around the holidays, you know, rivalry weekend. Man, wouldn't it be the cherry on top, Shane, to beat Ole Miss, capture that Egg Bowl. As optimistic as I've been, I ain't that optimistic. Come on, Shane. I really like Ole Miss. We're talking preseason top 10-ish type team. So, again, do you want to win this? Yeah, more than anything. But I think if you're being honest, you're a State fan, 8-4, even if it is a loss to Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, I think every Mississippi State fan would sign up for that today.
Hey, I think they'll be okay with 8. They won't love it. They'd love 9, you know. You know how you get to 9? You beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. And I feel like this may be a tale of two different teams at this point. Ole Miss, given the situation, could be reeling, right? Out of the playoffs, can't get in there now. What does that look like, right? We haven't seen that. So
8 games in 8 weeks for Ole Miss.
That's a tough one, right?
With a short week to prepare.
And then you had 3 big wins back to back to back. That's momentum, man. You know, it's funny. Growing up, I was never good at racing, right? I didn't win a lot of races, clearly. I was never the fastest runner, never the fastest walker. I couldn't do it. Not fastest swimmer. Didn't happen. But every now and then it'd snow, Mike. And you know who was the fastest down the hill? This guy. That's right. I'm on the lead sled, baby. Give me a big win at the Egg Bowl, baby. Momentum carried us through.
All right. I like it. I like it. So, most important games for Old Hail State. And this was difficult for me. I think I may have messed up. I think you're going to, right off the bat, not like this. But these are my 3 most important games: at Carolina, Auburn, and Missouri. So those are the 3 most important I have. What would you say?
I really think this, God, I hate to do non-conference, but it is important.
See, I don't respect them, Shane. That's why I didn't put them up there. I know.
But so I'm going to put it at the 3rd spot.
Okay.
I'll say Minnesota on the road, just because I feel like this is just what we're in a fork in the road, man. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to tell you about, but I'm looking at 4.5. Over under, right? Year 3, Jeff Lebby. So if you want to hit the over, well, then you got to go upstairs and you got to beat those kids up there. So I feel like that should be the 3rd spot. I do feel like South Carolina is in the perfect spot. This is your conference. There's a handful of Southeastern Conference games that you must win. South Carolina is definitely one of them. Now, the last one.
Could you see why I did Auburn, though? I mean, it's year 1 of their coach. It's at home. I mean, hell, this is a proud-ass program. These shouldn't even be like toss-ups. Any first-year SEC coach that's coming to your house,
yeah,
that's got to be a win, I think.
I think for me, Mike, I'm going back and forth between Mizzou and Ole Miss here, and I think I'm going to settle with the Egg Bowl just because if – let's say it almost goes out the way I want. There's a real shot that Mississippi State could win 4 of its last 4 games. So, and get that momentum. They're talking about you. I feel like that one should be in there. So give me Egg Bowl number 2. So I'll go South Carolina, Egg Bowl, and then Minnesota. That's what they say up there.
Who are you?
They got 1,000 lakes up there.
Hey, 10, shout out to lakes, I think. Jared. He always comes through with perhaps the best comments.
Yeah.
You said you were racing down the hill.
Yeah.
I said more rubbing than racing.
Oh, yeah. Dude, nobody could take me. The tube. I was on the tube. Nobody.
Nobody rubbing down the race.
But nobody was stopping me either, so don't get in my way.
All right, so take off your Mississippi State goggles here.
All right.
Again, the number's 4.5. Scale of 1 to 10. You just picked them optimistically to win 9 games.
Yeah.
Jeff Lebby, coach of the year. He'd probably be the next Bama coach if that happened in next year. But confidence, the team hits the over. Scale of 1 to 10.
7.3.
Oh. This might be the highest you've done.
Yeah.
You go so optimistic during the game by game, and then you get so pessimistic when I ask for a honest take.
No, this is they're giving you, Vegas is giving you money right now. Take it. Levy's hitting the over.
Doesn't it feel like that though? I mean, again, when we're talking, I mean, half these teams, right? Where it's like Oklahoma, 7.5, Ole Miss, 7.5. Yeah. Tennessee, 7.5. They're like begging you to bet the over.
Yeah.
And then these other ones, Arkansas, Kentucky, State.
Yeah.
They're begging you to bet the under.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to do it.
Means like everybody's probably going to go 7-5.
Yeah. But this would be like a team that shifts the most if they start out 2-0. If they start out 2-0, then forget putting money on it then. I don't know. I feel like it's a safe bet.
What do they say, Shane? They didn't build all those casinos in Vegas by being wrong all the time. You know what?
Yeah, they are begging us to get out there lately. You know what I'm saying? People have been listening to the show, Mike.
You know who else has?
Roll Tide! Boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you,
appreciate you, Steven Up. Thanks for all the previews. Never change the pirate. Mm-mm. Closing the episodes. We appreciate you, Steven Up. Oh, I love this one too, Shane. I wanted to wait to the end here. Boomer Sooner forever. There's no amount of cowbells that can help State beat OU. Boomer. I mean, he's probably right, but.
Probably right.
I'm just trying to pick one.
Yeah.
Kind of like you did. Yep. Bama. I would love it to be Bama.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's because I've been talking down to Bama all off season. So maybe I should have changed it to Bama, but
I feel like they're so close. They were so close last year. If you remember after that Tennessee game when they played A&M,
yeah,
I picked Mississippi State to win that thing. I was that confident. Now, obviously it didn't work out because I'm usually wrong about Texas A&M, obviously. But I felt like they were on the verge of beating one of these teams, and they're going to get somebody. They're going to catch somebody in October. I just don't know really who it is.
Well, you know who we're going to catch here, Shane?
Mississippi Bulldog.
Appreciate your buddy. He gifted 20 memberships. Shane, Tucker, Jersky Doc, Paxton, Bryson Landover, T-Stock, Blake Dixon, Alabo Aggie, Tall's Tyne Timbers, I think. Adam Kessel, Andrew Cote, JJ J. Hurt, Brand Music Man, M. Buckaloo, Eric something, can't read it, King Scar, Aliando Gutierrez, BMD Killer, Aaron, Josh, 7080, Kenny, 86, and Marcus Roberts.
Welcome to the family. Courtesy of Bulldog, Mississippi.
Yeah. All right, buddy. So anything else before we hop off on this one?
Real quick, which logo do you like the best? I saw his logo. I'm seeing the State logo. Is there a preference for SEC Mike on what logo they should use moving forward?
Yeah, I'll show you. I'm glad you noticed that because I don't know if anybody ever notices anything I do, but yeah. I try to use as many logos as I can. I like this one in the middle, the little bulldog.
Yeah. Bring it back.
That's my favorite.
Bring it back.
Doesn't that look cool?
I think like on the helmet and everything. He wasn't even a Mississippi State fan. He just loved the mascot so much. He had it in my house. So I love it.
I mean, the block M with the State, I think that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah.
I just hate the State thing.
Yeah. Never.
Apparently that's like their new logo. So
I don't know. We weren't in the committee, but right, buddy. Hey, Mike, no, seriously, I appreciate you doing all this, and hopefully, again, we'll see some cousins this weekend. Saturday, we're going to be at the Fanboy Experience.
Finally got it.
Yeah, finally. It just took me 5 weeks, but we'll be there. Tennessee Legend will have a booth in there as well. So look forward to seeing everybody that can make. And if not, I look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Yeah, stay locked in. We've got some fun content headed your way this weekend. So be on the lookout for that as we gear up for SEC Media Days. But until then, we'll catch each and every one of you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Hail State.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.